Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
See Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler, live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. Baby Tosh will be back next week. Dan Plucker, normally producing, he's back at some point later next week as well. Sam Schmitz doing a great job producing the show today. Joining us now is Eric Name on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Eric, we start things off with our question that we are currently asking on the 4 o'clock hour. Can Giannis's global popularity exceed that of Kobe, LeBron, and Michael Jordan?
Whew. Man, that is a tough one.
You know he's listening now.
I'm going to say no, but he does have an interesting head start because he's already like an international player. He's already incredibly popular overseas, so that helps, but I just don't know if he can ever kind of turn into the brand that any of those three guys all did. Like, it's really LeBron had signature shoes in his first, like, 2 years, and they're incredibly popular. I don't even know what LeBron version we're on right now, like 15 or something like that. Like, we're already there. Kobe, his brand went crazy as well, and obviously Jordan goes without saying. I think it's going to be hard for him to reach the level of either of those three globally, but he does have a really nice head start just because he's from essentially two different continents. Like, he does have his Nigerian roots and he does have his Greek roots as well. So there is some thought in my head that he's got a little bit of a head start, but I don't know. Those three are just so huge globally.
Yeah, and I think it's really difficult because, as he has mentioned in the past, he's turning stuff down to do that could help to increase his brand. It's almost kind of like he's not really interested in doing that whole thing.
Yeah, and I mean, they're just, I think overall, his people are really careful with his brand as well. That, like a guy like Shaq, I think part of the reason why maybe his brand never got as big as those other guys is because Shaq will do everything. He's selling toner now. Like,
yeah, he's doing everything. You're right. He's doing everything.
For printers, like, he did, like, the general, like, car
printers. Like, yeah. He's Papa John's. Yeah, he does.
Papa John's, he won't turn down anything. And we don't turn, like, when you do everything, you can make a whole pile of money, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But your brand kind of loses that exclusivity, and it doesn't feel like quite as big of a deal. So that's one path that Shaq went. So, I mean, maybe Giannis people are doing the right thing and being a little bit more exclusive and, like, really picking out all of the things that they do very carefully. But ultimately, like, you do have to do more stuff to get your brand to that size.
You know, and earlier today, too, we were talking about, and I don't know if you want to weigh on this or not, but the Bucks are raising their ticket prices for next year. And there are a lot of people on the line a little bit upset about it. But, you know, I say, listen, this would be the first time that you've had an ascending player. You look at what they've done downtown. I think at some point you're just going to have to pay for that.
Yeah. I obviously saw those reports as well. And, I mean, I think that's part of the difficult part of having a really good team is that all of a sudden you're going to have a higher ticket price. Like, I think those things kind of go hand in hand. Obviously, you also have a great arena, so that's going down as well. But, I mean, I'm not here to tell fans that they should pay a certain price or they shouldn't be upset that a price is increasing. Like, I don't want to pay more money for anything. So I totally get that. And I understand that, you know, it does always get harder to do those things and to take people down there. And I think ultimately the tough part is, like, for the Brewers, it's not, I don't want to say it's not the biggest deal, but, you know, there's 81 home games every year. Like, you can find a way to go to a Brewers game cheaply. Like, that is always going to be the case. Just because of the sheer volume of games. With the Bucks, it's a little bit more rare. The stadium isn't quite as big. There's only 17,000 compared to 44 that they can fit in Miller Park. I think the interesting part is I don't know how many people complain about Packers tickets.
No, they don't.
But that's because there's not as – but wait a second. I mean, with all – right. I mean, with all due respect, I mean, they don't have nearly as many games that they have to pay for the NFL as you do for the NBA. I mean, you're talking 41 games at whatever the price is on your ticket.
Right, right. And again, like, you're comparing apples to oranges in any of this, right?
Sure.
But the thing I do think is, obviously, over time, the Packers got very good, and prices went up, and everyone just kind of dealt with it because they love the Packers.
But you know what, though, Eric?
And it's easier to do.
I'm going to jump in here quick again. Yes, the prices went up over the course of time. Now, Gary can speak to this. Or Leroy can speak to this. I don't remember them ever having jumps of 30 or 35% in one offseason, Gary, to ticket prices.
No.
Landscape. I mean, right. This is a much larger jump than I ever remember seeing around here in one offseason. I mean, I've seen it go up, you know, 5% in an offseason, 6%, whatever. But to go up 30, 35%, one guy said his tickets doubled. I mean, that is at a whole different level.
Yeah, I mean that's why. And like I said, like I'm not just that people shouldn't complain about it. Like, yeah, I'm a lucky man. I go to Bucks games for free.
That's right.
Y'all are.
So like I'm in a very privileged position. So it's tough for me to tell anyone. I mean, even if it went up 0.1%, I can't tell you not to complain about that. Like, it sucks. Like, you're gonna pay more money to go to a game. So it's really tough to try to figure out how all of this works and, you know, figuring out an economic model and all that. And, I mean, the flip side to it is, if it is too much of a jump, if it is too expensive, well, then maybe the team will be hurting a little bit, right? Like, maybe not as many people will buy tickets. And I think the ultimate goal is, you know, in a free market, that they will see that and say, oh, we went way too high.
But I don't think that'll be the case.
Bring it back down.
But right, but I it but could, see, and this is the thing. We talked about it earlier, talking with Eric Name here on the Fan. You can follow him, Eric_Name on Twitter. Is you remember this at the Bradley Center. They lost a lot of corporate money over the course of the years at the Bradley Center that they had when the Bradley Center first started. A lot of those guys just quit buying tickets and quit coming to games. Now all of that money wants to get back into that arena again. So by raising these ticket prices and, you know, kind of, I'm not saying pushing out, but maneuvering some other folks out of their seats, maybe now you can get more of that corporate money back into that arena.
Yeah, and I mean, that was a really big push for this organization. Like, as new ownership took over, like, that was a big talking point, was getting corporate partners back involved and getting them where they do buy those seats. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that is a big part of it, too, that, you know, make the price a little bit higher and then you get some more corporations. And, I mean, for them, that's guaranteed money. And it's a really tough spot. Like, it's really tough to get the money that you think you deserve for a team that is really good and make sure your team is healthy, but also not anger fans. Like, this is the struggle, I think, of – I'm not even just any professional sports team, any business, right? Like, you have to figure out where all those price points are, and I think you're seeing a little bit from fans today. There's been plenty of pushback. I've seen it on my Twitter. I've had people getting at me about that as well. So I think they're going to have to see what kind of happens here, and maybe, like you said, Steve, like, this is intentional, that they do want to drop some people and pick up more corporate partners. Maybe that is, but also maybe that isn't the healthiest way to run a franchise.
You know, the other thing, too, and I want to talk about this a little bit, is last night's basketball game, before it gets away from us. We have the All-Star break, and you don't look too much into a loss when you are the Milwaukee Bucks at this point this year. But early on in that game, you know, they're getting crushed and down 25 at one point, and you're seeing on social media, well, they're obviously already at the All-Star break. They kind of checked out, and then next thing you know, they get on their run, they get back down four, still not playing all that great, but got right back into that game. As I said earlier, there's no such thing as moral victories when you're this good necessarily, but to me, that just showed that team's character getting back into that basketball game last night when you didn't have George Hill, you didn't have Giannis playing last night either, and that, to me, was a big deal.
I was shocked. Like, I was sitting in Bankers Life Fieldhouse last night, shocked that they came back. And, I mean, the thing that really stuck out to me was after the game, when, like, we're asking Chris Middleton about, like, you know, like, what is it about this team that, you guys actually wanted to come back? You guys could have packed it in. He looked at us like we were kind of crazy, and he was just like, we want to win every game. Like, there's no packing it in for us. Like, that's not how we do things. We want to win every game. And, I mean, I think there's still some thought in their head that if they make maybe two more threes in the first 5 minutes of the third quarter,
I think
they win this game. I
mean, they had a stretch there at the beginning of the third quarter where they got, like, three or four stops and missed, like, three or four threes in a row.
And I truly believe that they think if one of – maybe, certainly two, but if one of them goes in, they might win that game.
Yeah.
Like, I truly believe that they think that, and they just couldn't buy a shot there, because in a quarter where you hold the other team to 14 and only score 26, for this Bucks team, 26 and a quarter is terrible. And they did their job defensively. They should have scored more points. And I came away very impressed that they didn't pack it in. I thought they could have, but ultimately, you know, they played poorly, and it's weird how rare that's been. Like, that was kind of the story I wrote today at The Athletic, was like, we just haven't seen this. Like, it's really difficult to think of times this season where this team has looked bad, and looked bad for more than a quarter at a time. And that was an entire first half, and then a third quarter where they didn't look all that good. Fourth quarter, they kind of looked good, but even then, like, it's rare for this team to have a game that bad.
One other one for you. Marvin Williams. I just don't see how Ersan Ilyasova keeps his minutes if Marvin Williams is going to play like he did last night, and he doesn't even really know everything yet.
So there's been many times in the last couple of years where I've asked Mike Budenholzer a question about Ersan Ilyasova, and I don't want to say I've been reprimanded by Bud, but he's made sure to tell me just how good he thinks Ersan is playing.
That's his guy.
I say, hey, you know, he's struggling, and he'll say, no, he was not struggling, he played good, or something of that nature. This is two games in a row where Ersan has started the game and then been benched to start the second half. So each of the last two games he started, and then someone else started in his place to start the second half. And, you know, I asked Bud about that after the game, and there was no, Eric, you've seen the game wrong, you're wrong, he's playing good, you know, we did this because of this reason, and Ersan was still great. But he said, you know, we had to do this because that the Kings went small, and we just wanted to find a way to score more points against Indiana, and thought that this was the way to do it. And that, even though that's very vanilla, and that is not at all critiquing, like, hey, Ersan's has been bad for the last two games, that's why he didn't start the second half. Even Bud not complimenting Ersan is essentially him being like, hey, he's been bad. So that definitely stood out to me last night, that for the second straight game, he didn't start the second half after starting the first half, and Bud didn't feel like he needed to come to his defense and tell me that, no, Ersan actually did play good. So, I don't know how he keeps it over Marvin Williams. Marvin Williams is quicker. In those situations, he's going to be the guy when teams go small that's going to step in there at the four instead of Ersan, and that's how this Bucks team is going to kind of roll. So, yeah, I think Ersan's spot in the rotation is pretty tenuous at the moment.
Eric, the difference is, in the past, Bud didn't have a better option, so he needed to keep Ersan's confidence up. Now he has a better option, and he's done playing that game. That's it. That's all it is.
I think that's a big part of it. I also think, like, there's probably some Bucks fans screaming at their radio right now that DJ Wilson was a better option.
Oh, enough.
I've heard it all before, but obviously Bud didn't feel that way. I do think with Marvin Williams, like, this is this is a spot where, yeah, there's no more excuse for us. I'm like, if you're not playing well, like, we have a better version of you, and we're going to play that guy.
Absolutely right. Eric, thanks so much. Follow him on Twitter.
Thanks a lot, Eric.
_name for all of his great work. Eric, take care, buddy.
I appreciate you guys.
There he is, Eric Name on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? Mm-mm. Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.